Hi, we're Scott and Donna Apperson. Welcome to our podcast, Unity in Marriage.
We are marriage coaches. We encourage and equip couples to discover their purpose and understand their value. We want to provide hope and unity in your marriage. Hey everyone, we're just going to share a little bit about rejection and how we overcame it and share some tips with you that can help you overcome rejection as well. So,
and also what the Bible says about rejection.
Yes. Have you ever been rejected by family, close friends, people in your workplace, strangers, or maybe even a church family? We understand that all too well.
Yes. We felt a little sting of all of those.
A little. Yeah, exactly. Each category. But here's the good news. Jesus knows about rejection as well. And most of us have been rejected. And usually that leaves us feeling pretty worthless, but only God gets to define us. Yes. So, yeah, Scott, you have a story you want to share about when you were rejected. I know we both have many times.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of them was really when I was a child. I kind of told that story in my testimony when my dad was traveling. I was the last of three, so I was the baby. And he was away when I was young, so my mom kind of said, hey, you know, she just kind of said, I got Scott, I'm taking care of him, you're traveling, let me deal with him. And I think my dad kind of got offended by that, and he felt rejection there, and so that was just betrayed on me. So that was just a lifelong struggle for us, because we never addressed it. We just, you know, I'm sure he loved me, but he had that rejection, and he associated it with me.
Yeah, you had that spirit of rejection on his family because his mom rejected him as well, right?
Yeah, I think his mom was really mean to him and just, you know, demeaned him a lot and didn't uphold his worth.
Right, yeah. So there's rejection, but there is also a spiritual rejection, which I do believe we probably have in our family that we have prayed over and asked God to break that. For me, I mean, you can have little rejections from, like, your kids, your family, your friends. But, of course, our other big story is our workplace and how we got terminated from our jobs from choosing not to get vaccinated. And I would say that left me feeling very rejected and betrayed. But because my relationship with God was in a much different place, a greater place, then I was able to hear from the Lord, and he was able to assure me that things were going to be okay. That didn't mean that I wasn't scared. And I actually had to go through a grieving process like somebody actually died. I cried a lot. I was just really upset. So, yeah, we all have to go through stuff
well,
like that.
Well, that's and anytime you're healing from rejection, it's a process.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we had time. We lost our jobs. We were home. But we were hurt, and it took some time to process that, even though we trust God and, you know, felt like we had a strong relationship with him, always growing, but we felt like we were, you know, had a nice relationship with the Lord. It's a process, and, that was a hard one. That was
We had a lot of people that supported us, but we also had a lot of people that didn't, and so that was really hurtful as well, or, you know, some people that just didn't understand, and that was okay. We had the grace to go through it, and that was the most important thing.
That's
right. So our society really is broken because the family unit is broken, and that's one of the things that Scott and I feel called to do is help restore families, and that's because God has restored our family. So we always have to remember that in Ephesians 6:12 it says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So ultimately, we had to realize that it wasn't people. It was the enemy using our circumstance to get us to doubt God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he places those thoughts in your mind. He wants you to ask his questions instead of asking God questions.
Right.
He wants to distract you into depression and feelings of lack.
Right. And so in the family, the root lie is that God has abandoned or rejected us. And the enemy probably does that to us all day long, several times. And so what we have learned over the years is that A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'm going to read that again. What comes into your minds when you think about God is the most important thing about us. Because the God that we encounter is the God that we're going to reflect into the world. So if we feel like God is this judgmental, harsh, he doesn't care about my situation, then that's going to be the God that we reflect.
Right. It just all comes down to where do we gain our value from?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we let our circumstance dictate that a lot.
Sure. But when we understand that our value solely comes from God, mm-hmm. from the Lord, from our relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
we're definitely have a better fighting posture against the things that come at us.
Right. So I talked about a lot of our belief systems get in the way of how we see God. So our circumstance can do that. Sometimes someone will tell us something about God and we'll believe it. And that can start off in our childhood. Friends, valued friends and family members, people that we trust will tell us something about God and we might accept it as the truth. And other times it's just repetition. So something you might hear about God. There's several lies in culture that we've heard about God. And the one that stands out is, well, God's judgmental. He's going to punish me,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we always are. Well, society tells us that we have to work. You know, it's a work to get God's favor. And
right.
His sacrifice for us on the cross destroyed all that
right.
thinking. And he paid the price. Right. We don't have to pay a price.
Right, but we're still trying to every single day.
Absolutely.
Right. And so one of the things about God is with the rejection part, we have to learn how to have an intimate relationship with him. And one of the gifts that God gives us is free will.
Yes.
But I think we use it irresponsibly. Because God knew love and an intimacy of relationship could only come with freedom of choice.
Yes. We have to choose God.
Right. And so we also have... We can reject God, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So look, it goes both ways.
And there's a sample. Can we talk about Samuel in the Bible?
Yeah.
First Samuel, where Samuel was old. He was the king, and he was old, so he appointed his sons to be the rulers. And they got corrupted, probably much like what's happening today. They took advantage of their position against the people. And the sure. Israelites went to Samuel and said, we want you to appoint us a king because we're being treated badly here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Samuel probably didn't think that was a good idea, but he went to the Lord and said, they want a king. And the Lord is like, well, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me.
Right.
So we can reject God. And they rejected God and they got a king and it ended up being Saul, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But if they would have just went to the Lord and said, we're in a bad position, but you're our source. You're our king.
Right. They wanted to do what everybody else was doing, too.
Yeah, of course.
Right. And rejection can be real or it can be perceived. So that's an important thing because, anyway. So we know the lie is that God has abandoned or rejected us. But the truth is, God has not abandoned or rejected us. In Isaiah 46:4, it says, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. And so my question and my challenge to you today at the end of the podcast is, do you really believe that? Or do we really believe that? That God is going to take care of us to the very end of our age. And if we don't believe it, why not? Just wrestle with God with that.
Yeah. And that's faith. And that's relationship with God, knowing that he loves you in spite of you. I think it was Joyce Meyer that said, God can't love you any more than he does in this very moment.
Right. He already made up his mind about it.
Yes, our value is cemented with God.
Right.
We change our value. He doesn't.
Right. So, want to talk about the story of Joseph?
Yeah, that's some guy that endured a lot of rejection. I mean,
he was
his father's favorite, and
the brothers
were jealous, yeah, and they didn't like him, and so his father made this fancy robe for him, and I think he even gave him a ring. Well, the brothers grumbled. Well, the brothers went off to, I think they went off to do something with the cattle or whatever they were.
Yeah, but talk about before that, about his dreams that he had.
Yeah, so he had these dreams. Sorry, I forgot about that. He had these dreams, and he told his brother what the dreams were. And his brothers were like, oh, you're kind of weird. And then he had another dream, but the dreams were basically that people were going to...
That his brothers would bow down to
him. Yeah, bow down to him.
And he was the youngest.
Yeah, I think he was the youngest. Uh-huh. And so his brothers really resented him, but, you know, mm-hmm. again, I'm sure he had a lot of...
Pride.
Pride, yeah. And mm-hmm. so his brothers were out doing what they were doing, and the dad told him...
Told Joseph.
Joseph, go check on your brothers and... See what, you know, I guess I'm just paraphrasing here. Well, he put on his coat and his ring, and he went look for his brothers. Well, they saw him from far away because he probably looked so flashy with his coat of many colors. And his. So they hatched a plan to
kill him.
They didn't kill him, but they ended up selling him. So he got sold to someone, became a slave, I guess. And then that whoever bought him, they sold him to Potiphar. He became... but. The point is, when he got to Potiphar, he was such an outstanding man, even though he was...
rejected by his family.
Right, rejected by his family. He kept his worth and value in his relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
He created his circumstances, because he was. He was arrogant, and he was flashy. Who walks to...
Well, he contributed to it. I think his dad probably contributed to it,
too. Built him up and told him how good he was. And
He
His dad did that to him. Yeah, he kind of singled him out among everyone.
Right. He did get thrown in jail because Potiphar's wife accused him of him making advances at her. So basically, Joseph had several instances in his life. Go back and read Genesis 37. It's an amazing story where he was rejected several times. And if you dwell on the amount of forgiveness that Joseph had to extend, I'm sure that was a process.
Sure.
But each time he got promoted.
Yes.
So that was that's a pretty cool part of his story.
And his rejections weren't just hurt feelings. He was thrown in jail.
Right. You know,
all these things. So.
Yeah, and then he was made like a leader in the jail.
Yes.
Right. But then he was forgotten about when he mm-hmm. interpreted a dream. Yeah. Of one of the cupbearer and in the jail. So, but then he was remembered afterward, and he was made second in command, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So he became like a powerful man.
Yes, but he knew that he knew God was with him wherever he went.
Right.
And so he was able to find peace in any circumstance. And I think that's what the point in telling that story is that even when we're rejected.
Right.
God never rejects us. And that doesn't, if people reject us or circumstances reject us, that does not define our value.
Yes. I love, if you haven't seen The Chosen, that scene of Fotina by the well, mm-hmm. and Jesus is talking to her, and she says, I'm rejected by many. And he says, not by the Messiah. I love that. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that was really good. If you haven't watched The Chosen, that is really done well. Check it out.
Yeah, that, I think that was in the first season. Anyway, so how we get healed of rejection, even how this is how me and Scott got healed, is our intimate relationship with the Lord. And we've been a Christian for a long time, but, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to have an experience. And so that requires investment in your relationship with God. So really, the first step is like, let Jesus in. You know, by prayer, surrender is always the way. And that just means giving your life to God, saying, here, I can't do it anymore. Like, I'm out of solutions. Like, every time I try and fix it, I just make a mess of everything.
Right.
So that prayer just really is just, it's really a dialogue. That's what we learn. We tend to monologue in prayer.
Yeah. And surrender is just allowing God to direct you in all areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, it doesn't change your personality. It doesn't do any of that. It just gives you the love of the Father to rest on as we walk through, as we journey through life. And it's a peace.
Right, exactly. God's got a more excellent way. He wants us to come and sit at his feet and his love, like, heals you, then he's able to teach you, he is able to give you solutions, and then you get blessed, and then when you get blessed, you're able to be a blessing to other people.
That's right. And we'll take the rejection from my father. My sister and my brother didn't have the same experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through the years, as we talk about, I've forgiven my dad. He passed away before we could verbally say we forgive each other, but I forgive him. I know he did the best that he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he just felt rejected at some point, and
he's living out of that.
Yeah, and he did the best he could do. And unfortunately, I think it carried over into some of my parenting, and, you know, I wasn't able. So God's healing me, but that's a process. And so we need to give ourselves a little bit of grace sometimes because healing takes time.
And we trust that as that will heal, that our girls won't have to deal with that as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the important part of praying is listening to God, where there's so much that God wants to say to you, and he actually speaks to you, whether it's through his word or through his Holy Spirit. So make sure you're taking time to still your mind and actually be quiet, and find a way to interact with God that brings you that stillness. Like, sometimes I get up in the morning before anybody else gets up. Sometimes just being walking in nature or sitting outside. So find your peace, you know.
Yes.
You know, that can, you can able to listen to God, you know.
Well, yeah, you're not going to, God's not going to have a place in your life to be able to overcome rejection if you don't spend intimate time with him.
Right.
And receive from him
what
the world's taken from you.
Right. And, you know, even if you have to start with 5 minutes, and gradually, it's like when you hang out with a friend and you're like, I love being around them, it's just going to naturally get to be more time and more time and more time. And you'll get your identity built up, and you'll understand who you are. And so you're less likely to believe lies. You'll believe more of his truth than what he says about you. Yeah.
And you can believe better about people who may be rejecting you because you're stronger in your identity. And so even though they may be saying it, you're not going to be as affected by it. And you're able to affect them with your graciousness than them affecting you with their rejection.
Yeah, that's good. So second, just make up your mind to not be offended. I know that's a hard thing, especially when people say hurtful words. But God calls us to, in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guarding your heart is about you and your relationship with God. And as you're having that relationship, you're protecting it. You're like, okay, I refuse to think bad about this person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to believe the best. We see the best, we believe the best, we speak the best, because we don't want it to create bitterness in our heart.
And sometimes in the Bible, it said the Lord sent the disciples out, and if they went into a town and he said, if they reject you, dust your feet off and go on to the next town.
That's right.
And so sometimes there's people, circumstances, whatever it may be in our life that, you know, we need to let go of and maybe move on from. And that doesn't mean you do it in a unkind way, but.
Right. Well, and I think ultimately I got that scripture in my workplace. It was kind of like, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
It was hurtful because I felt like that's where I was going to retire from, but God had other plans. So the third one is, it's kind of a three-step, but it's like pause, ponder, and pray. And in Mark 15:3-4.
I'll read it. Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?
Yeah, like Jesus refused to defend himself. He just, he was wise.
He knew what his identity was. And
right.
So he knew that their words were powerless against him.
Yeah, that's good. So wise people pause, ponder, and then they invite the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, our words can start a fire, but our words also have healing power. Our reactions can't be taken back. So
yeah, and that's where it's good to pause and ponder and not react, because a lot of times when we lead with our emotions, we got a short fuse. But when we lead with patience and kindness, our fuse is longer, and so we're not reactionary.
Exactly. And while there is healing, while there is forgiveness, and God's word says that he forgets our sin, people don't. And the enemy uses that against. So that's just, it's like ammunition, because the enemy likes to replay things in our minds.
Forgiveness, hurtful words. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgiveness is for us.
Yes.
We confuse it that we should forgive someone for them. It's not for them. It's for us, because that heals our heart. And that rebuilds our relationship with the Father when we forgive.
Right. And well, that leads us into the last point is forgiveness. It's actually a crucial step in our relationship with God, in our intimacy with God and with other people, because we open ourselves up to the enemy to do things in our life. It could even sabotage our physical health if we're holding on to unforgiveness. I know that the foundation of my relationship with God is because I am fully aware of how much forgiveness I need every single day.
Right. Well, and we need to forgive ourselves first.
Yes.
Because I know with my addiction background, you know, when you're in that place, other people, you don't mind hurting other people because you're so selfish. And so when I came out of my addiction and moved past that, I had to forgive myself. And again, that's a process too, but forgiving yourself is really the first place we need to start.
Right.
So that you can receive that value from the Lord.
Right. Forgiveness is about really about character building and trusting God's unfailing love for us and others. Because he's like, vengeance is mine.
Right. And our mistakes are forgiven.
Yes.
He says that. So
Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
That's good.
Yeah.
And doesn't the Lord's Prayer say, I will forgive you in the same manner that you forgive others?
Yes, that's pretty, I never really noticed that till you shared that. That's pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
So
God puts a high value on forgiveness.
Right. And so allow yourself time to process, because forgiveness, I'm just learning this recently. So when we ask God for forgiveness, it's done. You're forgiven. But when we have to forgive others, it's a process. And sometimes, you know, if it's some little offense, yeah, it's easy. But sometimes bigger hurts and rejection, they take time. They can sometimes take months. Sometimes they can take years.
It just depends on the offense. Yeah. And
right, because it's...
You shouldn't lose hope in that, because the Bible says your sins are forgiven and you're able to forgive others as God forgives you. So,
right.
But it is. It can be...
Yeah, it's a process. And that's
process.
Okay. Everybody has to work it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I know from my issues with addiction and with my father, I'm still healing from that.
Yeah.
I still have identity issues sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, when certain things creep up. And so, yeah, it might be a lifelong journey for us too.
Yeah, I think I know the Lord has spoken to me that I had some issues with rejection, and I don't really know when they came in, but I know that God is still healing me from identity issues as a child. So, yeah.
You'll know if someone says something to you, you lash back at them.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a place that's not fully healed in your life.
Yeah, and someone I heard recently just said, if you can think of someone that's hurt you in under 5 seconds, then chances are you aren't healed from that particular person. And that's okay. You just got to process it. Do it with the Lord and do it with the Holy Spirit. So, and if, you know, some people need help like coaching or counseling, and that's fine too.
Yes.
So people are never going to fully accept us, but God is, he always loves us for who we are. And I think that's what we get confused for. We think God gets upset with us, or he devalues us when we do something wrong. But he already has, like you said, made up his mind that we're worth it.
Yeah.
So
right. We describe our worth by our actions.
And yeah. And that's not
he, our worth by
who he created,
who he
us,
created
to be.
Us to be.
So we get that mixed up. Yeah. So we hope this has been helpful for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just, let's just pray for our audience, because I know a lot of people are probably dealing with rejection. Yes.
Well, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you that you sent your son to the cross to pay for all of our sins, to pay for all of the rejection we feel, all of the pain that is in our life, Lord. We can stand firm that you have covered all that with the blood that you shed. Yes. And so we thank you for your sacrifice of your son, and we thank you for your promises and for the relationship that you provide us through your Holy Spirit. We surrender our life to you in Jesus' name.
Yes, and Lord, we just pray for your healing love to heal everyone that hears our message that's dealing with rejection, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit power to comfort them, for you to expose lies and to replace it with your truth. Lord, let them know how high and wide and deep is the love of your is your love for us, Lord. And we thank you for that in your powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great day.
If you would like more information or would like to schedule a call with us, contact us at Unity in Marriage. You can text Scott at 504-810-2453. Or Donna at 504-810-2420. You can also send us an email at scottanddonnaapperson@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Unity in Marriage. And also we have a Calendly website where you can schedule an appointment. That's calendly.com/ScottandDonnaApperson.